You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Put some distance between you and boredom during social distancing.
Click socialdistance.co.za.
25 minutes before 11 o'clock, it is 25 minutes before 11. Joining me next is the CEO of the National Health Laboratory Services, Dr. Chetty. Dr. Chetty, I know you're extremely busy. Thank you so much for agreeing to come and have a conversation with us about the work that you are doing. Welcome to the Eusebius McKaiser Show.
Well, thank you very much, Eusebius.
Maybe let's just start at a general level for the public to understand, and then I've got some more particular questions. Describe to the public how critical the National Health Laboratory Service is at this time. Where do you fit into this battle?
The National Health Laboratory Service is a public entity that was established in 2003, and we're responsible for conducting all the laboratory tests for all the public facilities in the country. So we do about 92 million tests per annum. It's one of the biggest laboratory services in the world. The National Institute for Communicable Diseases is a division of the National Health Laboratory Service that's responsible for surveillance for communicable diseases. So it's a massive organization that does a lot of work. 85% of the diagnosis for medical conditions depends on the diagnostic tests that we do. So you can see the importance of the National Health Laboratory Service.
Where, if I go and get a test done and a specimen is taken, where does it go to? How many labs are there in the province and in the country?
We have about approximately 270 laboratories in the country, but we service every single health facility in the public health sector. So that's well over 3,000 clinics and all of the public hospitals. We have a system where we've divided the laboratories into district, regional, provincial, tertiary, and academic. And we have a very good network where the specimens from a clinic gets transported through to the relevant laboratories. It works extremely efficiently. And we've got the biggest footprint in the country. We make sure that the whole country is covered.
So as we speak right now, specific to COVID-19, not the other work that the labs do, how many, in a 24-hour period, how many samples can be processed?
So right now, we've worked consistently to make sure that all of our academic facilities that have got virology laboratories are equipped with the state-of-the-art equipment. And currently, we've got six facilities that are doing the testing, and we've got a system where the tests will get referred through to those facilities. Prior to this, the National Institute for Communicable Diseases, the NICD, was doing the test during the initial phase. And then as this test started increasing, we decentralized it to the other laboratories. As I said, we've got six that are currently doing it. Three are coming online as I speak. And that's able to do about 5,000 tests per day in a 24-hour period. We're rapidly scaling that up. By next week, we would have another 18 sites that will be using the latest technology from Roche, which has just been recently approved by the FDA. And those new tests are coming in. We'll validate that and then start rolling out. That will rapidly increase the output. So we estimate it to be about 15,000 tests that you'd be able to do on a 24-hour basis. By April, we've also got another instrument called the Gene Expert. And the FDA just last week approved the use of the Gene Expert assay. And the Gene Expert assay is going to be able to, according to the manufacturers, they claim that it will be done in 45 minutes. We'll be validating that. The advantage of the Gene Expert is that the machines are mobile, the smaller machines, and we could put that in mobile vans and be able to rank that up for community testing.
Okay, so 5,000 samples can be processed within 24 hours, and you are hoping to have increased capacity in a couple of days so that that becomes 15,000, and hopefully by the end of April, 36,000. Just a slightly backward-looking question in time. Should we not have been better prepared? I mean, 5,000 is not bad, but we've got so many anecdotal cases. A typical example on my open line, I had a lady telling her story. She's positive with COVID-19. Her result took 9 days before she got it back, after 9 days since the moment when the swab was taken and the specimen sent off to a lab. What planning had gone into this? Should we not, weeks ago, already have been planning with all the different interdisciplinary experts around one table, learning from, for example, how we have had to deal with testing in relation to other crises like HIV within our society, Dr. Chetty? Have we been slow off the mark to increase capacity?
Not at all, Eusebius. There's been a lot of planning that has gone into this. We have been working overnight to make sure that we are ready. The issues around some of the reagents is a worldwide problem because it's a production issue. But we've been working with the suppliers to try to get a constant supply in. It still is a challenge because flights are being cancelled. The other tests that we're bringing on board have just been approved for use. So we've been very fast in getting it. So we have been proactive in that manner. The backlog that has been spoken about is not with the NHLS. We don't have a backlog, but the backlog has been at the private sector, who has been swamped with a number of tests. I've contacted the private sector and have offered that with that backlog that we will assist in trying to clear it up.
If we take a very particular thing like, say, for example, I don't know, I mean, you're the expert here, procuring swabs for testing, for example. When did you start thinking about the need to procure swabs in large numbers for testing?
So the issue around swabs is also, it's right from the start, from in January. We have been trying to be constantly, as soon as we can get to a supply, we order it. We're also looking at local manufacturing as well, so that call has gone out a long time ago around swabs. And it is a challenge, again, as I've told you, internationally. It's a problem, but we're working on it constantly.
Do we have enough swabs as we speak?
We're constantly trying to get in supplies.
So we don't.
We do have enough for the time being, but we're trying to increase that so that we've got a good stockpile.
What is our shortfall?
We're trying to get to get over 2 million swabs brought in, and as I've told you, it's we constantly trying to get those swabs in.
Okay, so we need 2 million swabs as we speak.
Yes.
And when you say we're trying to procure it, I assume
it's 2 million to make sure that we are safe with regard to being able to conduct the test.
Yeah, and I would assume the normal suppliers may be in the global north, like in America, right?
Well, it's Europe and America, but we're also looking at local manufacturing as well.
I want to speak into that in a similar question that I just posed to the MEC of Health. Your public-private partnerships are really going to be critical for every country, for that matter. We're not unique in that regard. We're going back almost in political speak to nation-state type of scenarios where it's America first, Italy first, Spain first, for good reasons, because the health of your citizens will come first. And so it's going to be very difficult on the open global market to get 2 million swabs if that's what we ideally need for mass testing, should we decide to go mass testing, to be done quickly enough for the mass testing data to be of any use to us from an epidemiological point of view. What is plan B if South Africa cannot get this on the open market because other countries have, let's take America as one example, Dr. Chetty, when they have an America First policy, how are you procuring this locally?
In our discussions with the suppliers, South Africa is one of the important markets as well, and that is to our advantage. But we're working very closely with the Department of Trade and Industry to look at what companies within South Africa will be able to manufacture this, that's in the process as well.
So that's partly what some of the ministers have spoken to with their regulations, to make it easier for local manufacturers to cooperate without being accused of being anti-competitive and all of that kind of thing. And I think their government has actually done quite well. That's why I'm really impressed with them being quick off the mark. But practical outcomes are important. Sorry, Dr. Chait, I just want to finish the question. Yes, sure. I'm just wondering in that regard, I don't know, the industry, this is your territory, but I would be so much more comfortable as a citizen knowing while you and I are having this conversation, there are corporate citizens that are repurposing the point of their existence to help create, for example, swabs, PPE, and that kind of thing, testing kids, on the assumption on a plan B that we can't get it elsewhere in the world.
Eusebius, let me assure you that this epidemic has brought together individuals from various sectors, all cooperating in order to, with one objective, to be able to end this epidemic. So the private sector has come on board. There's a whole grouping brought together by BUSA and all of the health sector. We're working closely with them. Regular meetings. They've come in to assist us by bringing in personnel, various partnerships in order to work together. So the cooperation has been amazing. I'm in constant contact with the CEOs of the private laboratories, on a daily basis, so that we work together with one objective again, to make sure that we cooperate in order to overcome this epidemic. So I think you can be comfortable to know that that's been done. The people of South Africa have just been fantastic in mobilizing and working together.
But what's been the level of cooperation in that regard? I mean, you talk about the scientists, you talk about the private laboratories. Were they initially and all along the planning route in terms of funding and these kinds of conversations that we are having, were they always part of those decision-making mechanisms?
So BUSA has had discussions with the various ministers through NEDLAC, and the private sector. It's not just the private laboratories; it's the private pharmaceutical companies, it's the medical aides, medical administrators, private hospitals. All have been grouped together in order to work with us, and we work with them, and cooperate. There's a solidarity fund that has been created. The suppliers to the laboratories have also offered to assist. So there's a lot of cooperation that is going on.
Just a technical thing, and forgive my liberal arts background. What is a reagent, and why is it important? And do we have enough of it?
Reagent are the test kits, Eusebius.
Do we have enough of them?
So as I said, we continuously trying to procure it. So yesterday, for example, I got 8,000 just came into the country. On Sunday, I'm expecting around 20,000. So it's a continuous process.
So, what is the overall strategy for testing? Where does that sit with? Is that something that the state at a sort of ministerial level decide on? Because one thing that's not sure to us as citizens is, for example, one point of being on lockdown is we try and flatten the curve by not having physical contact. But presumably a second thing that we should also do is now to test people. And if you don't test, you don't know. Is the objective to get people tested? in addition to keeping us physically away from each other?
Yes, so at this stage, the case definition that we have is that testing is done for symptomatic patients, and the experts are continuously looking at that case definition to see whether it needs to be ramped up or not.
And in order to give effect to that resolution, do we have enough test kits?
So as I've said, Eusebius, that we continuously procuring those test kits, and it is a challenge, but we have got enough for the moment for the tests that we're getting in. And also remember that the tests that we get, we don't generate the tests. It's the clinicians who examine the patients and decide, okay, this patient needs to get swabbed. That swab gets taken and then gets sent to us. So we don't take the swabs.
Yeah.
It's like with all blood tests.
Okay.
It's the clinician who decides, sends it to us, and we're keeping up with that whatever swabs that we are getting.
Mm.
Okay, it's the same in the private sector as well. And right now, if people have symptoms, they must see their doctor, and the doctor would advise us to whether a swab is taken, and we will try to get those results to them as quickly as possible.
Second last question, Dr. Dr. Chetan, then we leave it here because you have to go and manage your team and be in the eye of the storm. So when we watch what's going on else in the way, one of the things that piqued my curiosity is a new test that can return a result within 45 minutes. Our tests here, how long do they take before a result is known? Is there an explanation for why our results take a long time to be known? Or is there a different kind of test that is done in other countries? What is the difference between our test kits and the time lag with getting the result and talk of a 45-minute return of a result?
When it was centralized at the NICD, we did indicate that it would take 24 hours for the test results to be done. One of the issues was transporting the samples through to Johannesburg. Now with the decentralization to the academic laboratories, it takes approximately 4 to 6 hours. And the results get put up immediately on our lab information system. The doctors have access to the web view and can get the results immediately. The new machines that I've just spoken about, the one is the Roche Cobas 8800 machine that's just been approved in the U.S., and that's the one that we're expecting next week. That turnaround time is going to be reduced. I don't have the approximate turnaround time there because we're going to be validating it next week. The machine that you're talking about is a gene expert. So we've got over 180 of those machines that we currently use. The spare capacity then will be used for COVID-19, and that is the test that will take 45 minutes. We're eagerly awaiting the test kits so that we can validate it. And then we can confirm the turnaround time. And that's the one that I told you we'll also be able to put onto mobile vehicles. So I'm expecting those tests to come in for validation next week. And it's going to dramatically sort of change the turnaround times.
You've sort of answered the last question I was going to ask you already in halfway, but let me ask it for completion's sake. Now that the maths modelers are beginning to set up models, testing them, running them from the NICD to other ones, WITS-based ones, etc., I was saying to my colleague yesterday, even if you're not an expert on statistical analyses, the one truth that is obvious is that any maths model is only going to be as useful to us as two things. Number one, speedily getting input data into a model. And number two, that data that you put into the model obviously being hygienic data, accurate data. In that regard, where are we at in terms of improving the communication of the test results once they are known at lab back to where they need to be known? And I'm talking here the doctors, the patients, and the state when that data needs to be captured to go into planning purposes.
Okay, with our lab information system, what I'm trying to do is to get it institutionalized, because our lab information system connects all our laboratories nationally, and we've got a central data warehouse that collects the information. And this is only for the public sector. If the information gets captured at any laboratory, we would then be able to track that. All doctors in the public sector have got access, as I said, through a web view in order to be able to get those results immediately. But having said that, I mean, one of the issues that we're addressing is how to integrate the data between the public and the private sectors. Okay, and we're working on a system right now that information can be integrated, so that people would also be able to access it through there. But I agree with you. I mean, communication of the results, we know that people are very anxious. They want to know the results as quickly as possible. And we are looking now at various solutions that we could get in order to get those results as quickly as possible to the patient.
How long does it take currently, as we speak, to get the result communicated?
So immediately we get a positive, we communicate that through to the clinician, mm-hmm. and the clinician has to inform the patient. So that's also an issue, because it's not just a simple question of sending an SMS to the patient. We don't want results to be communicated in that kind of way. It has to go to the clinician for the clinician to communicate to the patient.
Yeah. Are you also worried about that turnaround time being longer than is ideal? The MEC for Health, for example, him and I were talking about how the communication is happening so poorly, the data capturing from some private labs also so subpar, that there are some folks here in our beloved Johannesburg walking around positive, confirmed positive. They can't be traced because data capturing wasn't accurate. And that's besides the fact that it took 7-8 days before the result was even known. And then I listened to that and I think to myself, my goodness, Professor Cohen made a point last week on my show, and she said, Eusebius, I don't want to get into the mass testing debate. The lockdown in and of itself will help us. And the point is well taken. I'm a layperson, but I understand that logic now. It helps us in and of itself. But surely the maximum benefit of the lockdown will be for testing to happen and data capturing to happen as quickly as possible.
So, very definitely, testing during this lockdown is going to be extremely important. And that's what we're gearing up for. So in addition to all of that, we're working, again, closely with the provinces. We've got mobile vehicles, not to do the testing, but to get to the sampling, going out into the, attached now to the tertiary facilities, and we'll be going out into the communities together with the province. Because as I said, we have to work with them because they've got the clinicians, but we'll be there to get the sampling done. And I'm aware that there have been complaints around some of the results that have taken some time, but that's because of the problem around the integration of data, but we're all working on that to try to get it done as quickly as possible.
Dr. Chetty, you've been very generous with your time. From a bureaucratic point of view alone, you have a ginormous task, and I wish you all the best for our collective interest. Thank you for coming on.
Okay, no, thank you very much, Eusebius.
Thank you.
And be safe.
Thank you, you too. That's Dr. Chetty, who's the CEO of the National Health Laboratory Service.